Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do,
moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways, hallelujah, bringing unto you the divine word of truth, hallelujah. And I just thank God for allowing me this opportunity to just come across these airways and skyways once again, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ as I know it to be. Hallelujah. I just want to continue to thank all of you, my faithful, hallelujah, my faithful listeners. I just want to send out a shout of gratification to you and you and you. Just continually to be a loyal, faithful listener of this program from its early beginnings up until where we are right now. And I just want you to know that I thank you from the depths of my very soul. And God is going to bless you for being a blessing to this program. And you might say, oh, say, Lord, I haven't given you anything monetarily, but it's not always monetarily that is the case. And this particular case, it's just your time that I'm seeking. I'm not asking for anything but your time and whatever talents that you have rendered unto God in your church and your temple or your, you know, wherever you attend church service, your mosque, wherever you have rendered unto God, just know that God is going to bless you. God says that he blesses a cheerful giver. And even if it's of your time, you know, that means everything. Because the Bible says, how can they hear, hallelujah, without a preacher? So we know that God has set in place, hallelujah, individuals that he has appointed to go out into the highway and the byways and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a false doctrine gospel, not yours and mine gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the gospel that he has left here, a book, he called it, the 66 books, and its beginning is Genesis, and its conclusion is Revelation. So that is the book that I'm talking about that Jesus has left us, hallelujah, too. It's a guideline, it's a tool, it's a navigator. You can navigate through the word of God, and it will teach you and I how to live a victorious sanctification lifestyle. So I'm not getting into my program as of yet, but you know, just look like when I get to talking about the Lord, you know, he's worthy to be praised. And I'll tell you, I just get happy down in my sanctified soul. So I just right now want to open up the chat room and just let you know that you are tuned into the Old Ship of Zion. And so I just want to kind of do a little typing just momentarily, if you will. Just give me a minute, and you can just come aboard. I do have the chat room available for your sitting as well as your listening pleasure. And so I just want to welcome, you know, my guests. I know I've already done that as I began to, you know, write out my itinerary for the program. But I just want to just let you know again, hallelujah, that I want to welcome you to the old ship of Zion. And may God bless you and you and you. And I want to just welcome my first-time listeners and I guess and friends and colleagues, hallelujah. And all of you that, you know, just would like to listen in on the program. And I know that it will be something that God has in store for you. Hallelujah, just for being obedient. This, you didn't find this program by accident or coincidence, but it's all the divine, hallelujah, orchestration of God. And so I just thank you, hallelujah, for, you know, your, what I want to say, your pilgrimage sovereignty. So I just thank you. I just thank you, hallelujah, and may God, as I have far stated, bless you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be with you a while, maybe an hour or a little more. I don't know just yet. But anyway, I just want you to come aboard with your tip and your dip, whatever you want to sip. Hallelujah. Bring your latte and your OJ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we just welcome you on this morning. It is a.m. on my block. It might be p.m. on your block. Just depends on what corner of the world you are at this time. But on my block, we're in the a.m. morning. And so you are once again tuned into the Old Ship of Zion, where your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. Hallelujah. And so we have a studio request line that if you want to call in at the conclusion, you will be prompted when to call in. If you have a request, you know, that you would want the Old Ship of Zion to touch and agree and go down in prayer, hallelujah, on a petition that you placed at the foot of God, and God will bring it to fruition. Hallelujah. So I'm going to put the number up where you can call in when you're prompted to do so. Hallelujah. Let me get that number. Let's see, Jesus. What is that number? I usually know it. But sometimes, you know, with all this other stuff, you're trying to... Let me see if that's right. This is 230-74. That is the number. I'm going to say it a little louder. That number again is 646-230-74, and that is the call-in. And then if you have any testimonies that you want to share, they are welcome as well. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, as we have said. Thank you for just tuning in. And so right now, we're going to go into acknowledgement, and we're going to acknowledge those that has lost loved ones. May it been in the last 72, the last 48, the last 24, last 12 hours, the last 8 hours, the last 6 hours, the last 4 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes ago, even seconds ago. And what we do, we just let you know, those of you that has lost loved ones, may it be in this hour, moments ago, yesterday, last week. We just want you to know that in your hour of bereavement that you are not alone, and that God has other pilgrims, hallelujah, prayer warriors, men and women, young adults, kids, female and male, hallelujah, that are praying around the globe, that are living holy every day of their lives. You know, you have to be sold out for God. You have to make up in your mind that you're sick and tired of the world and that you want to live the remainder of your life for the sake of God. Hallelujah, because the Bible says that those that don't choose God, so if you decide that you don't want God, and you said, well, I'm not going to serve God because I feel like if I don't serve God, I can live longer. I can be able to trade, and I can be able to buy goods, you know, foreign and domestic. But I want you to know that the Bible says that those who try to save their lives are going to lose it. So it will not profit you anything to deny God and continue to serve our adversary, which is Lucifer. It will not serve you, hallelujah, well, because the end results will be hell and eternal damnation. So like I said, this prayer is to let the ones that have lost loved ones, may it be your spouse, may it be your grandparents, may it be your business colleague, your health provider, may it be your orthodontic, may it be your dear friend, a cousin, and just whoever it might be. We just want you to know that in this hour, in this moment, right now, here, that you are not alone, that we are as children of God, and if we're doing as the Bible has instructed us to do, we are to be a helper one to the other and share each other's burdens. This is not what Overseer Ward is implementing, but God has already implemented this in his word. He says to share one another's burdens. So that means that when you weep, I weep in your hour of despair. If you're in your hour, hallelujah, of bleakness, despondent, and heavy laden of heart, I am to weep with you. So I'm weeping with you in this hour, in this moment, in this second, hallelujah, that God will restore joy back into your soul and restoration. Hallelujah. So we just want you to be encouraged. We know that weeping might endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we want you to be blessed and stay encouraged, be lifted on this morning. There's no pain that heaven cannot heal. So I want you to be encouraged on this morning and know that God loves you and Overseer Ward loves you as well. Hallelujah. All right. So we're moving right along. So now we're going to go into our opening prayer. And we do this each time that we come across this podium. We fail not to acknowledge Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is the one that orchestrated this here podium, this time and this hour where we are able to congregate from the comfort of your setting. So wherever you are on planet Earth, your own personal domain, maybe in your home, your apartment, your condominium, your duplex, your tent, your island, your castle, your mansion, your boat vessel, on the mountaintop, in the wilderness, those of you that don't have a permanent home, hallelujah, God has made this available for us to be able to minister the divine word of God to those that want to listen, those that want to hear about this man named Jesus Christ, who walked this earth over 2,000 light years ago. This is the man that we're talking about. He's Jesus of Nazareth, yet he was born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into prayer right now. I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty. Hallelujah. And your love unmeasured, God. Father God, we just thank you for being so wonderful, for so being so gracious, being so thoughtful to your children, to be able to give us this platform, to be able to reach millions across the globe. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to reach God. But you are the one that orchestrated it. You started it all, God. And we're not going to take any glory from you. We're not going to take your praise. But we're going to give you all the glory, honor that are due unto thee, God. And we know that you said, God, to just work until you come, God. Work meaning to labor in this vineyard, spiritually work. We are to humanly work as well, but you're talking spiritually to work until you come. Because, God, you said before you left planet Earth, you said that you went away to prepare a place for us, God, and that you would return to receive us unto yourself. And, God, until that time is upon us, God, we will continue in your will and in your way. We will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you on this morning, God, enable me, God, hallelujah, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the parts of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. And Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory, give your name the honor, and give your name the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the temple and the people of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. So now we're going to take you on into a live program, a live service. Because this is a service. I don't like to say program. I like to say service because this is a live worship and church experience that you are listening to right now. This is not a pre-recording, but this is a live, hallelujah, this is a live telecast service that you are tuned into. And so right now, without any further ado, we're going to take you on into this live program. And at the conclusion, you will be prompted when to call in for your prayer petitions. You will also be prompted in which to call in those of you that have a testimony that you want to share with the world. In our last church worship experience, we had a sweet sister that called in and shared her testimony. And it was so encouraging and so enlightening, uplifting. And so we have allotted this time for those of you that would like to share your testimony. Like I have first stated, you'll be prompted when to call in and share your testimony and also your prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer and to pray the prayer of faith with you, hallelujah, and for you, that God will bring your prayer petition, hallelujah, to its fruition. And so now we're going to go on into our first key scripture. And our sermon entitled is, Ain't It Awful? I want to say that one more time. Hallelujah. Our sermon, a message on this morning entitled, Ain't It Awful? And we're going to take our first key scripture out of the Epistle Book of Lamentation 3 and 40. Hallelujah. And so it reads like this. It says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And so you might say, Overseer Ward, I'm having a hell of a time in my life. I'm having the worst time I ever could imagine in one's lifetime. You might feel like, Overseer Ward, all hell is breaking loose in my home. The kids is just unmanageable. The husband is cheating on me, and the house is in disarray. But I want you to know that God, hallelujah, can sell your heart. God is a mind regulator. Yes, he is. God can make all things new in your life if you just let him. And there I'm reminded of a friend that told an individual, said every day on the street corner at the newsstand, this individual would muffle ain't it awful? He would say these words to the passerby while extending the newspaper. People bought a newspaper because they just had to know what terrible things had occurred. And, you know, we are having so much unrest in our world today. And there are people just running to the newsstand to get papers and to get books. And they're going online to see what's the latest news, you know, the tragedies that is erupting from around the world. And the Bible tells us that tragedy and their predictions always, we know, that makes the front page. But if we become preoccupied with bad news, you and I and us will succumb to what our friends call awfulizing. And it's a pervasive pessimism that clouds every situation with gloom. We know that if anyone had a good reason for being despondent, hallelujah, we can go back and reflect on Prophet Jeremiah. We know for 40 years he declared God's judgment on the rebellious and unrepentant nation of Judah. Jeremiah suffered because of their disobedience, but he clung, hallelujah, to his faith in God's goodness. Even after witnessing the destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of his people, we are told that Jeremiah wrote that the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And we know that God will stretch out his wrath upon the world, because of what the world is doing that's contrary to the word of God. The men and women that are to stand up for God are now taking a back seat. Now telling you that you can live in sin and lust, hallelujah, and you can go with Sally Sue, you can have a threesome, your husband can have two or three wives right there in your presence, and being sexually active, and it's all right. This is God's work, you know, God approve of this, but if I tell you that's further from the truth is that ever could be. That is a notorious lie they ever could tell and lay on God. And you know, when you lie on God, you have to account for that lie that you're telling, and you're laying it on God. You're saying, God approve of you laying up with your wife and two or three besides. You're saying you're spreading the good news. What I'm here to tell you is spreading sin. You're spreading adulteress, hallelujah, and you're living in adultery. You're living in adultery, and that is a sin to God. God says, come from among ye and be ye separated, says the Lord, hallelujah. You cannot live in sin, and you cannot live in sin and expect sin to be holy. Sin is ungodliness. When we was in the world, we was living in sin. We was living in ungodliness. And then when we come to the knowledge of God, somebody introduced you and I and us to God somehow, some kind of way, maybe with a tract, you know, that they would give out on the corners, the saints of God and ministers, and they be on the corners evangelizing. And so you might have got a tract and you was introduced to God. Somebody might have witnessed to you and invited you to their church. Somebody might have given you a Bible to read. Somebody might have called you by phone, by internet, by email, if that, you know, was in at that time. We don't know, you know, the calls or where you was at that time and era. But we know that somebody reached you through the word of God. May it be by mouth, may it be by telephone, may it be by telegraph or teleman, telewoman, chick or child. We know that you was introduced to God at some point in time in your life. And so before we was introduced to God, we were sinners. We was wretched undone. We was in the moratorium of sin before God found you and I and us. Hallelujah. So God, tell us, when you feel like everything is breaking loose in your home of unrest, your children are doing what they want to do. They are not abiding by the house rules. They are not abiding by the school rules. They are not abiding by, hallelujah, the law enforced rules. So they are going to their own way of doing things. And they're going to lead to two things, and that is jail or the grave. Jail or the grave, hallelujah. Those are the only two that will lead them into, if God don't send somebody to rescue our children. They're just running wild with no sense of direction. The parent now, instead of being parents, they want to do selfies and look at me, you know, this is me, this is time for me, it's time for me to do me, you know, I've had my time with the kids and so now it's time for me to do me, it's time for me to wine and dine me, it's time for me, you know, to go to the clubs and to go to do drop-in and to get with Mr. White and get with Mr. White's wife and get with Mrs. White's husband, you know. But I'm here to tell you that that is a sin, an abomination to God. Hallelujah. You want to feel like that you're sinning and you feel like, hey, I'm in love with another woman. I'm a woman and I'm in love with another woman. I'm here to tell you lovingly that that's wrong. In a lovingly way, that is wrong. That's against God's law. That's against his precepts. Hallelujah, of his holy doctrine. Sin is sin. It's no big sin. It's not a degree in sin. Say, well, that sin is a worse sin than this sin over here. You know, she's going with another woman, or he's going with another man. Two men going together, which not cannot reproduce anything. Only thing you can do is adopt. You know, but that is abomination as well. But that's not the sermon that I'm on tonight. I'm on discouragement. When you discourage, I'm here to encourage you. And God says that a lot of times when we encourage, that we're in sin and we're being rebellious. And God tell us, he said, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And that was our first key scripture coming out of the law of Lamentation 3:40. So God says, let us search out and examine our ways. And you want to know, why is all of this, you know, why is all of this happening to me? You know, some may call it bad luck. I don't believe in luck, and I don't even like to use the word luck, because luck never did anything for me. And if luck had its way, I would be dead and in a cold grave by now. So we know that it's all of God's grace and mercy and sovereignty that he so graciously bestowed upon us, his children. Hallelujah. And so, God tell us to search out and examine your ways. How are you living? Are you living to please God, or are you living to please self? Are you living to please the world? God tell us, he says, to turn back to the Lord. And that scripture reading again is coming out of the Epistle Law of Lamentation 3:31 through 32 down through 40. So Jesus says disobedient to God is a sin. God says that obedience, being obedience, is better than sacrifice. And disobedient to God can cause great pain. You and I and us. Not just you, but me too. So I'm putting me in this equation. Disobedient to God can cause you and I and us great pain. But we know that the doorway out of discouragement leads to the Lord, who is good to those who wait for him. So God wants you to turn aside, discouraged one. In God's own time, he'll see his work, and he'll give you hope. And he'll lift your heart. Hallelujah. We know that awful circumstances cannot alter the goodness of God. God want to bless you. God want to come into your life, and he want to be your Lord and Savior, to reside in your heart, to take up residence. But God, the only way he can do that is if your heart is clean, if it's have the contamination of sin has been removed and placed with holiness, righteousness of Jesus Christ. Then and only then will God come and reside in yours and minds and our heart and take up residence. That means to dwell. God will not, cannot, shall not dwell in an unclean temple. But if yours and minds and our temple are clean, free of debris of sin and lustfulness and wickedness and being a carnal mind, you know, and covet what's belong to your neighbor. So it has to be rid of all of those things before God can take up residence in yours and minds and our heart. And so we're going to read a little bit more. Hallelujah. We're going to read our second key scripture. And it reads this. It says, we are now the people of God. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. 1 Peter 2:10. And that was a little girl, hallelujah, who was punished because she had bad behaviors. And her parents was making her eat at the dinner table alone. Hallelujah, in the corner of the room. They paid any attention to her until they heard her praying. And she was praying in the law of Psalms 23:1. She said, I thank you, Lord, for preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And we know that that is a cute story of any little girl, a little boy, a little lad. But you know, in our family, we know that we can feel like our enemies when our kids are not doing and following instructions as we have laid out and implemented in our homes, because we want them to be exactly how we want them to be. And that applies even in our spiritual family at church. Our church people and our church friends and members and constituents can let us down occasionally. But by changing our focus, you and I and us, hallelujah, we can learn to give up the naive idea that others will always meet yours and mine and our lawful expectations. Instead of us focusing on the things that we want them to do, we can find hope in the truth that we are one of God's very own. Treading through faith in Jesus, you can consult the epistle law, 1 Peter 2:10. He has chosen you and I and us. He made us his own special people. The Lord has brought you and I and us into his family. We can be sure that our relationship with him will never be severed. He'll never treat us as an enemy. When others let you and I and us down, instead of giving us into discouragement, let's change our focus and remind yours and minds and ourselves that we who have put our faith in Jesus are God's children. He cherishes us. And he cares for us. Hallelujah. And we are cared by him. We are cherished by him. We know that we can be disappointed with the world all around us. But you are encouraged to turn your eyes from earth to heaven, where there's true joy may all be found. When others let you down, you are encouraged on this morning to look up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that in this life, we're going to go through pain. We're going to go through discouragement. We're going to go through sorrow. We're going to go through just being alone by oneself. And it looks like there is no one in this world but you. Because you're discouraged, because you're lonely. You said, Overseer Ward, you know, I've lost my husband, I lost my wife, and I've been a widow for many years. I've been a widower for many years, but I'm here to encourage your heart that God has that perfect mate for you, lying in waiting. All you got to do is just trust God. Take him at his word. Don't doubt him, but trust him. Hallelujah. You might be in despair right now, but there's going to be a brighter day. God is going to send in the sunshine in your life. God is going to bless you beyond belief. God is going to bless you with a new wife, with a new husband, with a new son or daughter, with a new niece or nephew, a new grandchild. Just put your trust in God. Trust him when you can't trace him. God has never caused us to denounce his prophecy. So if God said it, will he not make it good? God is never lying, and God is not going to start lying. God hates liars. Liars would not tarry. Hallelujah. In his footsteps, God despises liars. He said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. So we know that God hates liars. But God is going to bring a change in your life. All you got to do is trust God and take him at his word. Trust him. It's not going to always be that way. Children, God can make your children act right. God can make that runaway son or daughter return home. That runaway husband that's running wild, running rapidly with other women's, other folks' wives. God can send him home. And acknowledge to you that he's sinned and been unfaithful, and ask for your forgiveness. Even though he has left room for a divorce, God leave it at your discretion, because he feels like that you can't forgive if he come to you sincere, honestly, and admit that he's done these things. You can forgive him. God would welcome your forgiveness and start your life anew. Start, hallelujah, your marriage over, so to speak, and promise to never commit these unfaithful acts ever again. Hallelujah. And so you might be discouraged on today because you're not where you want to be financially. You're not where you want to be in your living arrangements. You're not where you want to be on your workplace. You're not where you want to be even in your own business. But I'm here to encourage you that God will bless you if you trust him. If you trust God and never doubt, the old hymn says, if you trust him and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. So all we have to do is trust God and take him at his word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We're going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to turn it over to our second phase of our program, and that is hymns of Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Hallelujah. You know, when we are filled when you and I and us, when we feel overwhelmed by trials, we can go into the law of Job 42, and we know that that can be an encouragement to you and I and us immensely during these difficult times that we're living in, that we're succumb to. At this point in life drama, we know that Job no longer doubted the power and omnipotence of God. He knew God personally through experience. He had wrestled with God emotionally and spiritually. And as a result of Job's persistence in dealing with his situation, he stood face to face with God. And as Job himself stated, "Now my eyes see thee." In the final analysis, we find out that Job was vindicated and became the agent of divine mercy for his friends. His prayers were accepted by God. Most importantly, Job himself was accepted by God. We know that the love of God is such that even when we feel utterly abandoned by friends and perhaps even by God, he will come to you and I and us personally as he came to Job. God comes as an answer to our questions. In his presence and deep wounds of our soul are healed. We are made whole again. We know that the wholesomeness of his love produces, hallelujah, it produces, and it even heals our broken relationships. And that's what I was talking about. I'm talking about that in your household, your husband is seeing other women, your wife is seeing other men. He's not being faithful, she's not being faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we know that as Christians, we know that we can be beacons of life. We can be a beacon of life, affirming that the darkness of our days will not and cannot ultimately last. We must tell the world that at the center of the universe is a heart of divine love that will not let you and I and us go. But we must say, our eyes have seen him. Discourage one. I want to encourage your heart. Hallelujah. That our divine Redeemer, we thank you that you have not left us alone. We thank you that you come to us and answer us personally. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because of you, all is made whole, and we are fully restored. For this we are again grateful. And Lord, we're asking you to help us to express this day, hallelujah, our iniquities. Hallelujah, to affirm our oneness as members of the human family, to strive and to heal all brokenness. Amen. And we're asking God to touch you today. Touch you with his mighty hands. Hallelujah. And to heal. Hallelujah. Heal and remove the hurt, the guilt, and the shame. And begin again. Renew your life again. The Bible says, come from amongst ye and be ye separated. God is knocking at the door of your heart. God is warning you, hallelujah, to change over a new leaf in your, not only your personal life, but your spiritual life as well. God is wanting to come into your life and to reside in your heart. That means to live there. Because you have given God your life. You have put off the old way of living and you put on a new persona of living your life before the world, before your friends, before your family, before your business colleague. And you've chosen God to be your Lord and Savior. God says that let this mind be in you, which was in also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of the Epistle Philippians 2 and 5 down through 6 to the conclusion 8. We know that nearly 2,000 years after Christ walked on this earth, he is still the center of attention. Some love him, others hate him. On the radio, television, in our schools, the front magazines, in our workplace, in the sports grounds, his name is taken in vain, even ridiculed and blasphemed. It is as if there is a concerted attack on this one man and all he represents. Yet in all of history, Jesus Christ is unique, and he towers above those who want to trample on him. There are five basic facts about Jesus, and we all need to consider. Number one, you cannot explain Christ. Jesus is beyond human logic or understanding. He cannot be interpreted through either scientific or philosophical explanation. Jesus Christ is the one historian personage whose life was written before he was born, before he set one foot in the arena of human history. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus had already penned his biography, his biographies. But he said that he came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We know that Jesus is the reason for yours and mine, and that we exist here today, here now, in this hour, this moment, this second, this time. Christ is the reason that we're here. Christ's birth, his work, his teaching, and his miracles is the way which he would die. And miraculously, hallelujah, we find out that Jesus, he rose from the dead. All that was prophesied, it was written long before he came into this world. We find out that Jesus Christ was born in a manger. Yet wise men from the east followed a bright star, and they came and they worshiped him and they bowed before a little baby. Others also sensed something special about that baby. The authorities on the Jewish law later sat discussing it with him. When he was just 12 years of age, he was a man of miracles. 36 are recorded in the gospel. Only God could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and break them and feed 5,000 people with plenty left over. No one else could speak of the deaf so that they could hear or bring words to the lips of the dumb, sight to the blind eyes. Only Christ could say to a lame man, get up and walk. So that in front of an astonished crowd, he did. We know that Christ alone could raise from the dead 12-year-old girl, a young man and an old man who had already been entombed. You cannot explain Christ. He once spoke of a fig tree and its progress of withering, which would normally have taken years, happen overnight. Jesus spoke to a storm and sea when the winds and the waves were beating against his little boat. His peace be still brought instant calm to a temperate sea. We know that Christ had power over the devil and over nature, including diseases and death. He even had power over his own death, saying, no man can take my life. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. I'm getting happy down in my sanctified soul on this morning. We know that at every major event in the Bible, Each person of the Trinity was at work. It was so that when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible teaches that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead in the law of 1 Corinthians 6:14, that he was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to the epistle law of Romans 8:11, that he raised himself by his own power in the epistle John 2:18-22. We find out that many ignored or derived Jesus, but they cannot explain either his life or his death and his resurrection. Christ was sinless. He was sinless. He was pure and holy, undefiled. He turned to his enemy and asked, "Which one of you convicted me of sin?" He looked to his Father and said, "I delight to do your will." You may criticize the church establishments and argue about doctrine, but could you explain Christ except that he is God? He came down in flesh. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for everything, God, that you've done for us. We thank you for dying for us. We hated that you had to die such a just an inhumane death, death like no one else in the just in humankind, just in human nature, in mankind, period. There is no one that died like you died, Jesus. No one was pierced in his side. No one had just gigantic nails that was nailed in their hands on a cross that you had to tote up Golgotha's hill. They drove nails in your right hand, in your left hand. Took a spear and placed it in your side. The Bible says blood and water came gushing out. Hallelujah, Jesus. If that wasn't enough, then they put a crown of thorns. It's like putting sharp blades on Jesus' head. Those things was so sharp until they cut into Jesus' skin and his flesh. And there was blood raining down like sweat from Jesus' face. Then Jesus was whipped on his backside 39 times. The Bible says that by his 39 stripes, you and I and us were healed. So I want you to be encouraged instead of being disencouraged. And that was our sermon, says, "Ain't it awful?" He was talking about disencouragement, being despondent. God says that we have to be obedient. God said that we encounter judgment when we be rebellious. But we know that God, hallelujah, is faithful. And God is faithful in his goodness, in his hope. God, bring us hope. You have hope, hallelujah, that if you invite God into your life, that you will reign for God. You will reign with him forever and ever, eternity. Throughout eternity, you will reign with God forever and ever. But if you choose not to live for God, then your eternity will be in hell. That will be eternity as well. In a lake of fire and brimstone, God calls it the bottomless pit. That means that it has no bottom. You will tumble and tumble and tumble, but that there will never be a bottom. You'll never get to the end. You will just continue to burn in hell. And we have some witnesses that went to hell. The rich man is a witness. The Bible says he went to hell, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged to turn over a new leaf on life. Make God your personal Savior. See things turn around in your life. See that your wayward children will come back home. They will suck them to your rules and regulations that you have set forth in your homes. God will change their heart and their mind from being disobedient to being obedient. Young girls, young guys, young ladies, young men, young lads, God can change them. God can change anybody because he made everybody. So if he made everybody, he can change anybody. You can never be too bad that God cannot change. God can change your heart. He can change your mind. He can change your circumstances. You can be broke today and you can be a millionaire in this next hour. Hallelujah. You can be on Skid Row today. You can be sitting in a mansion in the next hour. You can be barrenless, can bear any children yesterday, but today you've been impregnated by your husband. You are going to have a child. God can bring that marriage back together where you got a divorce decree, and yet you can come together and say, we're going to try this thing one more time. We're going to give it another go. God can cause those kind of events to unfold in yours and mine and our lives, but only if we trust him. So I want you to be encouraged on this morning. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ford, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. This program has been Blog Talk Radio. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion, correction. Your host and moderator has been Overseer Janice Ford. And right now we're going to open up the lines. So if you have a testimony that you want to share with the world, you can call in. And that studio dial-up is 646-200-3074. 646-200-3074. We'll welcome your testimony. We'll welcome your prayer petition. If you have a prayer petition that you have placed at the feet of God and you want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree that God will bring it to its fruition, now is the allotted time to call in. And I'm going to give you a few minutes, those of you that want to call in, and I'm going to give you a few more minutes and wish to call in. We call it our Studio Dial-Up Prayer Request Line. That number again is 646-200-3074, 646-200-3074, and you can speak live with yours truly. And so if there will not be any testimony on tonight or this morning, there will not be any prepositions that's needed, then we're going to take you on into our second phase of our program. And that is bringing you hymns of Zion, and that's to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are challenged to go in God and allow God to go in you. You are also challenged to buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. Hallelujah. So we want you just to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again, you be blessed. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah.
And tell you stories about two sisters, Mary and Martha, whose brother now lay sick. And it was that same man who Jesus made rise from the dead. Now, just in case you're doubting the power that Jesus possesses, we want to give you some encouragement. Trinity, let's do this.
Tomorrow.
Oh, ooh, that is so cool. Look at it. Cut.
Yeah.
You know, that's important.
Very important.
Ooh. Mm. And I wonder if he's safe.
That's a thought.
Staring you in the face, could also be a million.
So we want to take a little time to say
how much.